Kelman on cliffcentral.com.
All right, let's say hello to Blogger Diaries regular Warda Hartley.
Hello, I'm so glad it's more than just you and me this week for a change, hey?
And no one on Skype. And
yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. It's very cool. And our friend is back.
Yay!
Yay!
Konnichiwa!
I don't know if I'm happy to be back, guys. But I'm happy to see you guys. Hello.
Very quickly, in 60 seconds, tell everyone about your trip. And go, I'm timing you.
It's very expensive. So if you're planning on going to Japan, it's very expensive. And the food is amazing. And trust me, you don't want to come back. It's very convenient. It's very safe. The nightlife is amazing. Oh, my gosh. The shopping is cray-cray, guys.
Well, you haven't clearly been to Mall of Africa.
Oh, we're already. I'll probably go next year.
We're already 13 cars have been stolen.
Let me just say.
No way.
Wow. Yes.
How did those cars get in there? I mean, how did they even get out? Because, it's jam-packed.
They're so focused on opening the shops, they didn't focus on, manning the exits and entrances with security.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's heavy. Well, listen, if you're going to Mall of Africa or you're going to Tokyo or Japan, wherever you're going, you need money, and maybe you can be making money out of your blog. If you want to make money out of your blog, there's a service in SA called Webfluential, which monetizes blogging. And joining us, even though he's got his own blog, and we'll see what the fuss is with the fuss in a little bit, Tozi Sejanamane from Webfluential. What's happening, dude?
How's it? Thanks for having me, and I'm glad I could crash your guys' party.
That's great to have you, because you're going to tell us how to monetize the party. These two are very avid bloggers and doing amazing things in a vlog space, a blog space, all over the internet.
Yeah.
So give us a context to what Webfluential does, and then let's hash it out.
Yeah, so I think I'll start by saying that it's not necessarily a service. We consider ourselves a technology platform. So Webfluential is a technology platform with a whole lot of back-end algorithms, and our devs work daily to create a platform that allows influencers to monetize their blog, as well as allowing brands to find influencers who are relevant to whatever their campaign goals may be.
A lot of people that have come across this, it makes so much sense that someone would be doing this, but I guess the technology behind it is quite in depth, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we have our dev team has grown from one guy over the past year to now a team of five dudes in the dev team. And I think that just allows us to compete with some of your bigger brands, because on a daily basis, we bring new tools for influencers. Like we recently launched a WordPress plugin that allows influencers to just be their own agents and contact brands and show the brands, hey, this is what I can do. And I think the having the Webfluential brand on their on their blog just gives it that credibility because of what we've been doing over the past 2 years in South Africa.
I think I signed up. I'm a new member of Webfluential, and I signed up a few weeks ago. And it's free, by the way, guys. So it's awesome. One thing I was so relieved to find out as a new blogger also is that, the biggest stress is that you're new, you're competing with people that have tens of thousands of followers. Mm. How do you get your voice heard? But I understood that somebody explained to me that you guys, verify all the back end stuff. So if there are people buying followers and having fake followers or inflating their numbers, you guys kind of are there to kind of balance everything out and go be that outside voice who just verifies everything. And maybe you should just explain to people how you do that, because that was really fascinating for me to hear that, automatically, I can compete with somebody with maybe 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers or whatever, because maybe my hits, or according to what I'm focusing on, is better than that person who's got 50,000 followers but is a beauty blogger or doing something else, music blogger or whatever.
So just to touch on the technical aspects of it, when you sign up on Webfluential, you authorize us to access your API on Twitter, on Facebook, on your blog, Google Analytics. And giving us that access to your API just allows us to ensure that the data you're giving us is actually the correct data. Mm. So we don't just ask bloggers to tell us how many readers you have a month. You authorize us to get that data directly from Google Analytics. And there's really no way to fake Google Analytics, so to say. And then in terms of competing with the bigger influencers, we do have a tier system on Webfluential. There's five different tiers, so we make sure we just make sure that each and every single blogger is competing with people with the same kind of reach. And ultimately, at the end of the day, dependent on client budget. Smaller influencers can make it work, and we do find that smaller influencers with more of a niche focus on this particular kind of field will get a small value than someone with a bigger reach. It really depends on what your campaign is trying to push for.
What kind of money are we talking here? I mean, how much money are people making out of this?
Well, in terms of figures, I think there's a specific influencer on the platform who charges around about 40K for a single tweet.
For who charges 40,000 for a tweet? Who is that? It's Bonang.
If Bonang is listening, we'd love to have you on the platform. It's really easy. And like we said, it's free of charge.
So you're paying out 40,000 rand to someone to tweet once?
Well, the client is.
The client, no, is, the client is paying that money. And
how many followers does this person have?
Over a million.
Over a million.
But then, like, I mean...
It's mini Dlamini.
Adding on to what Warder was trying to say earlier as well, is that, I mean, those are obviously the much bigger influencers out there with a large, much bigger following. And so now, let's just say you only have 1 to 2,000 because you only started recently or whatever. Like, how do you even compete in that space? I mean, obviously you get paid less, but I mean, what makes a brand want to even work with you?
Yeah, how does it make you marketable? How do you become marketable to a brand?
I think the biggest thing you should focus on, regardless of the amount of followers you have, is creating great content. Because ultimately on Facebook, on Twitter, we do have a thing called media. So if you have a few followers and you have great content, we can still put media behind that post to make sure it gets further than just your immediate reach within your within that channel you're using. But if you're creating beautiful content, a brand is always going to want to get in on that content.
I mean, it's navigating the space because it's so new. Is, I think, interesting to everybody who's working in it. What's got you so excited, though, about influencer marketing in an online space and what you're doing over at Webfluential?
So, I mean, influencer marketing, I think it's not anything that new. What's changed in the game? I mean, back in the day, your influencers would be your sports star, would be your movie stars. What's changed now is that anyone with a cell phone and a data can easily create an audience online. So that's broken a lot of barriers in terms of making money from talking about brands. And I think what's cool for me working there is that we're competing on a global scale. So it's really exciting on a daily basis. We're always trying to innovate. We've got a great culture at Webfluential. And we also educating people. I think that's been the biggest challenge and the biggest, also the most rewarding part of it, is that by educating people, we also educate ourselves.
Okay, I have another question. So just now you were speaking about Webfluential's platform, and people are bloggers. I mean, they could be music bloggers, beauty bloggers, fashion bloggers, whatever, while also fitness bloggers. And you said you would also love to have Bonang. So I'm guessing you're saying that you also welcome other influencers who don't necessarily have a blog.
Yes,
so anyone
definitely.
That have a large following.
So not necessarily a large following. I'll say anyone who creates great content is invited to take to apply to be on the platform. We do have a little regulation in terms of the minimum you must have is 1,000 followers on Twitter. You do use Twitter to sign up on the platform currently, but our dev team is slowly building some other things where you can use your Facebook channel to sign up, where you can use your blog channel to sign up. But for certain circumstances where maybe you're an Instagram influencer with a big following, and maybe you have 100 followers on Twitter, you're free to mail our influencer management team, and we will approve your application
and make a plan.
So when you say content as well, like, you can any type of content, whether it's funny tweets or good photos on Instagram, whether it's a blog, doesn't necessarily have to be a blog type of content. Where you write up some kind of article or story, can be content on any platform.
We have the channels we use currently on Webfluential. There's Twitter, there's YouTube, there's Facebook. We're looking at launching Pinterest soon. We're looking at getting into the Snapchat game as soon as they open up their API. But outside of that, it's the blogging, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram currently available.
On that, on Snapchat, I mean, the way things work, that you don't even know how many followers you have because they have it's not a following. That's your score,
And the score is not even validated by your following. Your score is like how many personal snaps you send back and forth with your friends. Like, I mean, you can have literally 20 followers and you have 20 people watching your snaps. But if you and your small group of friends of, like, let's just say 20 people are continuously sending each other private snaps and stuff, your score can be as high as like over 10,000. Yes. Whereas someone that just always posts on their story and have like hundreds or thousands of followers, you know, they could have maybe even like 10, like 1,000.
So yeah, Snapchat is a really interesting one. Obviously, they don't currently have any ways to report necessarily. You can see how many times your snaps have been viewed, but that's not available through the API. So they're not opening up from other public platforms to pull that data through their platforms. But I think Snapchat is currently focusing on creating a great space for their audience. But eventually at some stage they are going to have to, I mean, they're slowly doing it, but they need to make money. So that's going to come through advertising. So I'm sure within the next couple of years, we'll see them slowly opening up more and
because, I mean, people that are the most watched, the most popular person on Snapchat is Kylie Jenner. And I mean, she's already making money through it. Like that. For sure. Yeah, she's already she's already endorsing things and
But she's always been endorsing things though. Yeah, but that's not just from Snapchat.
But she's now monetizing her Snapchat channel as an additional platform to
expose
advertise
what she's doing.
Expose. Granted, it's only her lip gloss, but I mean, like, most of the time. But I mean, she got even a gift, this whole hamper from Snapchat.
Yeah.
So obviously they know who their real, like, their big
Snapchat fans.
Snapchat people are.
So lots of brands are rushing to Snapchat because it's this new exciting thing. But there's probably not a lot of thought behind how they want to push themselves on Snapchat. So they just, I'd say most of the guys are just rushing there without really a plan of how we're going to measure this. What are our KPIs for this campaign? I mean, I heard
key performance indicators. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I heard Sam told me about one of the snappers she follows, who was just invited to a cell phone brand's event, and there wasn't even any kind of product placement or anything. I mean, product placement isn't bad, isn't good, but they was literally just invited to the event and they were snapping at the event.
And that was what their job was.
That was their job, yeah.
What is the, in your experience, how does one, in the best possible way, build an organic following with what you're doing? Building a following online, what's the best way to do it?
I'll lean on to my number one is the content that you create. I think it's a, we have an attention economy currently. I mean, whereas before we had TVs, you can't always look at a TV. You can't take a TV around with you, but we always have our phones with us and our attention is constantly on that phone and we're looking for new content to see on that phone. So if you continually create great content, and I think it's also important to just step back and decide exactly what your focus of your blog is, what your mission of your blog is, how you're going to differentiate yourself as the sports blogger, because there's 1,000 other sports bloggers. So what angle is going to make your stuff interesting? And I think lots of people also jump out much too early. I mean, we expect miracles in a couple of months and lots of people get defeated by still having 100 readers per month. And they're like, ugh, I don't want to do this anymore. Damn this blog. I'm not a blogger anymore. So it's just patience, great
consistency.
Content. Yeah.
And also, I suppose the question also is, I mean, you're speaking also from both sides of the, you wear both hats. You work at Webfluential, but you're also a blogger yourself.
Yeah.
How often would you say is an optimal amount of time to blog a week? Like, I blog twice a week on a Monday and supposed to be a Wednesday, but Wednesday was a public holiday. So sometimes Wednesday becomes Thursday, and today Thursday became Friday, but that's a different story. But I mean, twice a week. And a lot of, like, my other blogger friends say, if it's more than that, they find that they lose followers and you kind of start irritating people.
Yes.
So
I think it's a tight little rope to balance on, but ultimately, as a, if you are a, the face representing the blog, it's also going to depend on how much time you have, if blogging is your full-time thing or if you have time to post. But with me on the fuss, I try, but fail miserably often to try post on a daily basis, because what we have is we have these readers and each day they come back to the blog, and if there's not new content up, that's a lost reader for us. So I'd say lots of the big huge blogs post upwards of four blog posts each and every day.
True.
But it really depends. Each and every day.
I think it depends on what you do.
Yeah, but isn't that also people that have like a team? Like, you know, some blog, more established blogs have a writing team, have a creative director. They have this whole like a newsroom would have, like a publishing company would
have. So when I chat about influencers, we do include publishers within that. So it's not necessarily just one person manning a blog, but a blog that I read often is High Snobiety. They have a whole team.
Yeah,
and
they
I think they influence a hell of a lot of people. So they still influences for us.
Let's talk about The Fuss for a second. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now as well. Very, very cool. It's pop culture personified, right?
For sure. I mean, I started The Fuss around about 3-4 years ago. I was previously in a band prior to that. I love music, and my band split up, so I still wanted to be involved in music somehow, and I also noticed that, like, there's so many great musicians and not a lot of places are like actually giving a voice to these musicians. So I decided to start a blog because ultimately that's going to push our scene even further. It's going to create a platform for these guys to make money, to get more promotion, to get more awareness for the music they make.
And how did you build your following, and how many followers did you get in the beginning? Because I love asking like older bloggers, like what was your following in the beginning? Just so that I like have a sense of like, you know,
if you're in the right space.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when I started, we were probably sitting at around about 100 readers per month in the first kind of in the first month of having the blog. But I think as I started to get more consistent with the blog, as I moved the blog from Tumblr towards WordPress, as I built a team around me to help me with creating great content, then we started seeing a slow increase. And I think it's also like I also like to involve myself personally in the scene a lot. So I think that kind of contributes to it somewhat. But I mean, our main focus is just creating great content and convincing people to actually pay attention to the great music within our borders, as well as spend money in funding those guys to make even more music, to make a living out of the music that they make.
Mary Lou?
Well, actually, right in like somewhere around there as well. I remember the first week when I actually started blogging, I had about 150 people looking at my blog that week. I think it's because out of curiosity, not because they were followers. I think it's because I was advertising it on my own personal Facebook account at that time. So it's probably just friends and family that were just curious to see what on earth I was doing. And then I think more stable, I would say for the first 3 to 6 months, I would go as far as to say like maybe 150 like people looking at it like every month. It's like 100 about 150 people. I mean, they can come on like 4 times, but it's still one person, you know. So yeah, it does grow really slowly. I felt right in the beginning because I started blogging when I was in varsity. That was like, I don't want to give it away, but quite a few years ago. And yeah, but like if any advice, I would definitely say right now is definitely the time to be like blogging, to have your own website, and to be consistent. Because right now, like more than ever before, I feel in South Africa especially, we're slowly catching on to like the blogging trend, and we actually enjoy reading people's blogs and opinions and experiences and watching people's vlogs as opposed to buying magazines.
I actually find you absolutely right, because I actually find now I find myself like wanting to get into bed with my YouTube and watch YouTube videos and just watch vloggers and go online, and that's like I look forward to it. Like
me
I
too.
Used to look forward to reading a Grazia magazine or whatever. I don't anymore. I don't
me
even
neither.
Buy that stuff.
Yeah.
I go on and I watch your videos and I watch my I have my people that I follow, the vloggers. And then I watch all their stuff and like interesting little documentaries and things. And
how does one, you know, figure out the medium that they should be blogging on? I mean, Twitter in itself is even a micro blogging platform.
Yeah.
But I
mean,
there's
just so many.
When you're choosing, should you vlog? Should you have a WordPress blog? Should you have a Facebook page where you interact like that? Like picking the or should you be big on Snapchat? Picking the medium. I mean, what kind of internal conversation should be happening?
I think probably that also depends on the kind of content you'll be creating. I think the easiest social channel to start with is Facebook. Facebook has probably like the biggest audience out of all the social networks, and the media element of Facebook is really easy to use. So it's really easy for you to jump from 100 followers to 1,000 followers. If you're creating nice content, then you're putting a little bit of money behind that, even something as little as like $200 behind a post. Mm. It's going to help your blog grow. So I think most of the big guys are on all platforms, but as a start, I'll say start a blog, start a Facebook page. If you're really big on the visual element of it, that's when you're going to look at maybe going into Instagram rather. If you really want to be the face of a specific video, if you find that you find it easy to talk to people through video, then you're going to jump onto YouTube. So it's dependent on what you want to do. I mean, you're not going to start a business kind of thing on Snapchat. It's only the sexy brands that are really working there currently.
And then just, I suppose, the big question that everyone would want to know is, what are the kind of things that you should be telling brands? What do the brands want to hear? Like, in terms of what are the kind of points that you need to highlight to them?
Besides their big following.
Yeah, besides the following. Yeah. I mean, the following's one point, but like, what else should you be highlighting on, like, your Webfluential profile, media kit, or, you know, when you're sending an email to a brand, you can't just go, hi, I want free stuff. I've just got this blog.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I think a really nice way to hack it is create your own content. So if you have a brand that you'd like to approach in mind, create content that you feel is going to be relevant to that brand. I think we're launching a snapshot report tool on Webfluential soon. So this tool is going to allow you, first of all, you create your content, and then this tool is going to allow you to make a nice little interactive online report of exactly how many people that piece of content reached, what was the engagement like on it. So that just allows you to package that in an email, send it over to the brands, because then the brands can already see. It's not like saying, hey, give me free stuff. Hey, I created this. I feel it's going to be really relevant for what you do. This is how it performed. Maybe if you give me money, we can make it perform even better.
All right, we've got a cool last round here. Final remarks, questions, as we begin to wrap up this edition of Blogger Diaries. Mary Lou, emotionally, where are we at?
Well, I'm actually really enjoying this because this is my first time into this Blogger Diary space.
Yeah.
And I actually hope we get someone else next time that's within the same space like you, Torzy. Hmm. Yeah, this is awesome, guys.
I'm just really excited about this. I think that in light of the hashtag that is currently trending, open up the industry, I think bloggers and blogger diaries is right where it's at. And I think if there's any way you're going to open up the industry for yourself, it's by taking the power back yourself and creating your own platforms, because you shouldn't wait for TV executives and radio station managers to give you opportunities. You must create your own opportunities online, and you can do it on your phone, which is awesome.
Amen.
I think I'll just end off with one of my favorite social media figures. He believes that content is king and context is God. So this is from Gary Vee. Ultimately, if you want to be a great blogger, you need to create great content, and you need to understand the context your audience is seeing that content in.
Power.
Awesome.
Torzy's blog is thefuss.co.za. It's at Torzy the Creator on Twitter. Of course, you can touch base with Mary Lou at lovemarylou.com and Warda's blog, fabufit.co.za. We'll touch base again next week for another edition of Blogger Diaries. Sometimes it's like we're going to go behind the blog posts with popular bloggers and see what Warda's been up to on Fabufit, and Mary Lou will play some of her eye makeup tutorials because I'm really struggling.
Are you really struggling?
Struggling,
yeah. To get that winged eye.
I want
brows.
That, you know, just woke up, fresh look, and then I was, yeah, you know.
I'm just dying to, like, organize your eyebrows. He's got, like, a lot of eyebrow to deal with there, hey?
I was being very jokey, and you just made this very real, Warda. So we're going to do loads of different things. And then also, this was interesting because it's about figuring out how to monetize it and not just figuring out what content to do. So yeah, we'll touch base again next week in another edition of Blogger Diaries. Thank you all for hanging out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. It's back. Are you Jawsy Tough? Cycle through tunnels, over floating bridges, and into colossal stormwater drains. You're a machine and nothing's going to stop you. With two separate routes, a 22K for beginners or a 54K for the tougher riders. Go where no mountain biker has gone before. On the 29th of May, ride the Hollard Juma. Brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Challenge accepted. Juma.co.za.
Hello, young Jim. It's me. You, 15 years from now. Oh, you're so old. Shh, child.
I have news from the future.
Okay.
It's something they call motherhood.
Kids, that's not really my thing.
And yet you'll have three of them.
What kind of person has three children?
The kind who uses her evening bag to catch the hot, chunky flow of a child's vomit.
That is disgusting.
Oh, you'll be too tired to care. And you've inhaled a lot of craft glue over the years.
And why would I do that?
To build a replica of the Roman Empire out of egg boxes. Among other things.
Not gonna happen. I will never stop partying.
No, you will go to parties. Princess parties, pirate parties, parties with inflatable castles, and chatty parents named Barry and Debs.
No.
Yes. And then one sad day, you and your husband will stop closing the toilet door, and romance will slip silently away through that door. This is your future, Jen. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit studentflights.co.za and travel before it's not fun anymore. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.